Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13 tonight. We have been dealing with this series on authority and submission. Last week we dealt with it, authority and submission in the government or the legal profession of the nation. And we looked at all the aspects of that with the Garda, with the government, with the legal profession and our attitude, what it's to be, when we should submit and when we shouldn't submit. Next week, we'll probably deal with the family, which affects it all. Don't think if you're not married, it doesn't affect you. It does. If you were ever born into a family, next week's message is going to affect you. If you have a mother or a father and they're 80 years old or 100 years old, that will affect you personally. But here tonight I want to deal with a specific subject of church government. Church government, reading from Hebrews chapter 13, and there's just three or four verses I want to read here. Reading from verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Then verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And just lastly, verse 24, salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. Father, I do pray for your blessing, and on your word, illuminate our minds, inspire, and even our hearts, direct our steps, guard our words, our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions. My God, we do want to understand the government, the authority, the rule, the order that you put in your church. Lord God, we all want to be submissive in the house of God. We all want a heart of humility and submission. Lord God, because you say if we don't submit to each other, and if we don't submit ourselves unto you, that you shall resist us. And my God, I'm asking of you tonight, open our eyes, give us revelation. Lord God, we're not asking for a large church, a famous church, nor a rich church, but we are asking of you, and we are determined to have a church with order and the blessing of God, and to have the word of God here in a way that it's lived out. We bless you, we praise you, and we worship you tonight. Bless your word to our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We have already seen that there is an order, a structure, an authority, and submission in God's kingdom in every realm. We've already looked over these weeks that there is an order of authority and submission in the angelic realm, both that which is at the throne of God as well as Satan's dominion of the demonic realm. There is an order, there is a rank and a file, there is a way of operation. Even in Satan's kingdom, there is authority and submission. We see it everywhere in the Bible. Also, through the history of Israel, we see authority and submission. That God always raised up leaders, the patriarchs, the judges, the prophets, the kings of Israel. He raised up all of these men, and there's always been authority and submission amongst God's people. Last week we seen with government, every nation has some form of government. I personally don't know one nation on the earth that doesn't have some form of government. It may be tyranny, it may be democracy, but almost every nation, I don't know of a single government that's our nation that says we don't want government or we don't have government. You can't function as a nation unless there is an authority and a rank and a file structure in the nation. You would have criminal anarchy if you didn't have law and order in the nation. So we begin to see that every area of society, right down to the home, there's a rank and a file. There's authority and submission. And all of this is for our blessing. We know that if in our nation there was anarchy, and we know the word anarchy, it means to be disordered, or to have no order, or to have no authority in it. And that's what they say when there's no no order in society, or there's no rank and file, or no authority and submission. We say that is anarchy. And what we mean by anarchy is there's chaos, there is confusion, there is disorder, there is disharmony. So you can be sure that in the church, there is authority, there is submission, there is government, and there is a rank and file order, not that man has created, but that God has created and written in his word. Here tonight in Hebrews chapter 13, in these three verses, verse 7, verse 17, and verse 24, we read something about this government that God has placed within the church, and we want to look at this tonight. It says in verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now just note for a second that in these three verses, three times in one chapter, the apostle uses the term those who rule over you. He's writing to the church. He's writing to individual Christians, young and old, immature babes, as well as mature spiritual giants. He's talking to the entire church, and he speaks of those who rule over you. And you'll find throughout the New Testament that the Holy Spirit takes it for granted that if you're a born-again Christian, and if you're a member of the church, that there are those who rule over you. I know there's those in the church, there's those in the streets that say, no man is going to rule over me. Well, do you know what? That reveals their attitude to God, towards his word, and the thoughts of their mind. If you don't believe that a man can rule over you, then you're against God. You're a rebel. You're a revolutionary of the worst sort. And I can assure you, you might be that in the nation and survive, but you cannot be that in the church and survive. And the Bible actually says if you resist submission to other believers, that you actually are resisting God himself, and that God will resist you. So we see that God takes this issue of being ruled over as a very real thing, but we need to understand what it means. What does this Greek word mean? Rule over you. It's all one word, and it actually means to lead or command. So there's those in the church who actually take the lead, and they actually give command, or they give instruction, and they actually lead the church of God. You know, we actually read of Paul writing to Titus, and he says, when you go to the churches, set them in order by putting elders into the church or leaders into the church. In other words, they're not in order, that there's things left undone. They need eldership, or they need leadership in them. You never see in the Bible where the Lord says, well, it doesn't matter if you have leaders or not. It doesn't matter if there's those who don't actually lead you and guide you and direct you in the things of God. You never find it in the Bible. And that's why in this chapter, three times, he speaks of those who rule over you. Saints, all of us ought to be in that position. All my life I've had men who I consider to be men who ruled over me. The government rules over me. My parents ruled over me. And there's those in the church who have ruled over me. I don't have any problem with someone ruling over my life, because I tell you, the man who rules, if he's doing it right, carries a greater responsibility than me. You know, in this nation, I'm glad I'm not in charge of the economy. I'm glad I'm not in charge of the waste, getting the waste out of the city of Limerick. I don't even need to think about it. I'm a servant. I'm just here. Let the government take care of it, and I can turn my tap on, water comes out. I flush my toilet, all the waste goes. I'm not looking after that. It's those with power, with authority, who are looking after all those things. And it's the same in the church. There are a few who actually rule in the church. It isn't most, it's not many, it is a few. And those individuals who rule, they've got to make sure that when you turn the tap on spiritually, water flows. Or when you push the button on top of your toilet, the waste gets carried to a safe environment. That spiritually is the responsibility of a leader. Now, Eastern shepherds and Western shepherds are different. Here in the West, when we think of shepherds, or those who look after the church of God, we think of them going behind the flock and driving the flock in a certain direction. But that does not happen with Eastern shepherds. They always walked in front of the sheep herd. They actually were at the front walking in a direction. You had a choice. The sheep can either follow or stray off into the hedgerow or go on, what's that over there? It is a choice whether to follow a New Testament shepherd or not. You're never forced. You're never compelled. You are going to make a decision. Remember what Jesus said in the Gospel of John. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So that's what sheep do. They make a decision about following. They actually listen to the voice and they will make a decision. Will I follow or will I go and do my own thing? But notice here, an Eastern shepherd never drives the flock or makes them go in a direction. He will advise, he will counsel, he will rebuke, he will chasten, he'll do all these things, but you will make your own decision to follow or not. And in 1 Corinthians 12:28, it uses the word governments. Now, we know in 1 Corinthians 12, it says about everybody, God has set every member in its place. So we know that in the church, God has set every individual, everyone, every person, I don't care how worthless they think they are, God has set them into the church in a specific place. But listen to this verse. Verse 28. And God has set some. Not all. He has set some. That means a few. A handful. He has set some in the church. First apostles. Secondarily prophets. Thirdly teachers. After that miracles. He's speaking about people here. Then gifts of healings. Helps. Governments. Diversities of tongues. I want you to notice that God has set some into the church, not all. Amidst all of the church, he has set a few in the midst who are governments. Now this word governments used here, it means someone who steers. It is a pilot. It is someone who brings direction to the church. And it is actually a nautical term. In other words, it's used on boats. And it was used 2,000 years ago for the man who steers the direction of a boat. Do you realize in a boat, not everybody steers it. Only one man steers the boat or else you're going to get confused. So the Bible says that God has put governments into the church. And he contrasts this with helps. There are helps who get put into the church. They might give, they might help. They might work, they might do whatever. Do you realize not everybody is a help? I don't know where you've realized that. And like some people, they get around and say, I'll help you. After 5 minutes, you say, it's okay. I do not need any help. Or I don't need your help is maybe the right thing to say. But you know, in the church, God gives helps. Certain people, not everybody. Certain people are given to the church and they are called helps. They actually help the church to function. That's not leadership, but they help the church to run smoothly. But there are governments and these governments steer the direction of the people of God. They lead, they direct, they rule the people of God. We read in James chapter 3 verse 4, behold also the ships, which though they be so great, a big ship, they are driven by fierce winds or storms, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Now what's the helm? It's actually the wooden stick at the back. You know, when you maneuver ships, you've got that wooden stick, it just goes down. It's a big ship. But that wooden oar at the back directs the whole ship in the direction it's going. And it says, whithersoever the governor listeth. Governor, governments. The governor is the man who steers the direction of the of the ship. He actually maneuvers that little bit of wood or the steering wheel of the ship, and he directs that big ship through storms. Storms can't move that ship, but one individual man can steer that ship where it ought to go. Now this is a picture of leadership, that they actually steer the church or steer the ship through storms and troubles and diverse winds. This word, the governor, means to straighten, to level, to steer a certain direction, or to go in a straight course or a straight line. In Genesis 42 verse 6, we read about Joseph. He's called the governor of Egypt. And the reason he was called the governor is that he's promoted to the second highest place in the entire nation. And we know that he steered Egypt, the nation of Egypt, through a 7-year famine. That was a crisis. There was going to be no food to eat for 7 years. But what did God do? God raised up a governor, a man to steer the nation, a man who had the mind of God, the wisdom of God, the word of God, the will of God. One man, and he affects an entire nation. No, many nations. So we see that God, all through history, has raised up leaders to steer his church, both locally and nationally. This is how God operates. Now these men who rule over the church, they are given many names in the Bible. And I'm not going to do a study in this, but I'm just telling you. They're sometimes called elders. Other times presbyters. Sometimes overseers or bishops. It's the same word. Now all of these elders, presbyters, bishops, they are all the same ministry. It is leadership in the local church. It's synonymous. These different words, elder, presbyter, bishop, overseer, it's all the same thing, but it's different names. Elders means they've got maturity. Presbyters means that they're a community. Overseer speaks of their task. So each of the words defines something. And in the Bible, we're told that the elders are all to do the work of a shepherd. It doesn't mean they're all shepherds. They're not. All elders are not shepherds or pastors. What does the word pastor mean? Do you know it's a nonsensical word, the word pastor? Do you know it doesn't mean anything? It's a Latin word, pastor. It's not a biblical word. It shouldn't even be in the Bible, the word pastor. It is actually the word shepherd. If you go to your Strong's Concordance and you find the word pastor, it is actually shepherd. And do you know what? There's 5 ministries given into the church. Do you realize an elder in a local church, he can be a teacher, or he can be a prophet, or he can be a pastor? When we call every church leader a pastor, we're actually wrong biblically. Because that is not a title, it is a ministry. So when we call men titles, I understand it. We understand what happens in the church. But we're actually not being biblically correct. Who says I'm a pastor? I could be a teacher. Yes. Maybe I'm a prophet. Maybe I'm different things at different times. So you need to be very careful. You begin to use a title, but really it's a gifted ministry. But you know, all these church leaders, they're all to do the job of a shepherd. They may not be gifted as a shepherd, but all of them are to feed the sheep just like a shepherd does. It is for all of them. And we actually read in Acts chapter 20 verse 28, it says, take heed unto yourselves and unto all the flock over the which, what's a flock? It's sheep. Over the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers or bishops. Do you know what that actually means? It means the Holy Spirit, every true elder, leader, overseer, presbyter, shepherd, every true leader in the local church, it's the Holy Spirit has raised them up to a position of government in the church, to lead the church and to feed the church. Now, wherever you get authority, you do will get problems. There's no doubt about that. But notice it's the Holy Ghost who makes men leaders in the local church. They don't get voted in. There's no democracy. In a period of year, you'll never see a vote in this church. You don't find it in the Bible. It is not there. The word ordained is in the Bible. And you know what it means? It means to stretch out your hands. To lay your hands on a man to ordain him to ministry. Not like this voting. It's like this ordaining. And that's the difference. There's no voting in the Bible. You won't find once in the Bible where men voted in a church leader. Not one single time. They're chosen for the task. They're qualified for the task. They qualify themselves. And also the Holy Spirit makes them overseers. That's why this church is not a democracy. No true church is a democracy. You get certain men set into the church who are to lead that church. They don't take a vote. They don't get you to fill in a paper and ask your opinion. I tell you, a true leader asks God and studies this book to find the will of God and the mind of God and the purpose of God. The church is not a democracy. It's a theocracy where Jesus Christ, the King, reigns over the church. That's how it operates. But saints, I want to tell you, when you put authority into the hands of a man, I don't care if it's in the government, in the church, in a family or any other realm, as soon as someone has authority or power, there are certain dangers. William Pitt, I believe a Prime Minister of Great Britain, he said, unlimited power. In other words, power without boundaries or checks and balances. Unlimited power is apt to corrupt the minds of those who possess it. Or listen to Lord Acton with a more clear statement. Power tends to corrupt. It doesn't corrupt. It tends to corrupt. An absolute power corrupts absolutely. Give a man power, it could corrupt him. But give a man absolute power, it's guaranteed to corrupt him. There's no doubt about that. If you give a man power and say there's no limitations, there's no restrictions, there's no conditions, you are asking for serious trouble. This is what's happening in America at the minute, is that the presidents over recent years have taken more and more authority. They're making decisions without the constraint of the Constitution. Yes. Now the Constitution was put there in America to keep the president in line or order. He has no power if he acts outside the Constitution. Yes. Do you realize the recent presidents of America have acted of a power of their own without abiding in the Constitution? Yes. You're asking for problems. And that's where our world is actually heading very fast. So we see there's got to be boundary lines on all authority in the church. I want to tell you, my authority is not unquestioned. It is not unlimited. It is not absolute. It has conditions. It has boundaries. It has certain ways to function. I want to assure you, my authority in this church as a leader, as someone who rules over you in this church, it is not unquestioned. It is not beyond challenge. It can be checked by the Word of God. And you know what? If you don't check it by the Word of God, you're very foolish here tonight. I actually encourage you every time I preach. I've done it thousands of times. Test it with the Word of God. That's why I expect you to have a Bible on your lap. I expect you to take notes. I expect you to go home and say, let me study further. If you only hear the Word of God, go away and say, well, he must know what he's talking about. That is not enough. I want to bring you to a place where you know the Word of God. You should go home and study what I say. I'm not replacing your study. I'm inspiring your study. I am helping you. I am giving you material that you can go away. And you need to become persuaded and ask yourself, is this true? Is it biblical? And if it is, you need to become persuaded and settled in your heart and your thoughts that this is the Word of God. We're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 12, chapter 5 verse 12. And please note, saints, I've taught on it many times in different countries and in this church. I've told you that to be qualified as an elder, a leader, or a ruler in the church, there's 22 qualifications. You can't make yourself a leader. You can't appoint yourself. Anybody, if you're the most eloquent preacher in the world, you are cannot be a church leader. There are 22 qualifications. One of them is that you can teach. The other 21 are about character. Why do you think there's 21 points of character about an elder or a leader? It's because he's given power. He's given authority. He's to rule over other men. That's why there's 21 character qualifications. It's to guard leadership in the church. That means if a man is soon angry, if he is a liar, if he's out on the street fighting people with his fist, he is disqualified. If he's a slanderer, if he's a backbiter, he is not acceptable as a church leader. If he's a man who doesn't even take his wife to church, who doesn't have his children in order, I can assure you he's not ready for eldership. He may be in the future, but at present he isn't. Now listen, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them. This is to the church. We beg you to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Now notice here again, Paul writing to the Thessalonians, and he talks about those who are over you. And he tells the church, it is your responsibility. See, I've noticed something in churches, in my travels, not just here, everywhere I've gone, all through the years, but especially in Limerick, maybe more than anywhere else I've been in my entire life, is that people walk into churches and they say, the man ruling, the elder, the leader, he should do this and he should do that and he should do this. I've heard it 1,000 times. But you know what they don't do is say, oh, we are obliged to do all of these things. Do you know, I can give you a long list of things that you as a member of a church are to be towards a leader. I can give you, I could keep you here 3 hours just telling you those things. But you know, someone walks in the door and they say, I think this, I think that, I think this. You don't have authority for that. Notice what you do have authority. In a church, you're to know them. Notice it's not my responsibility to know you. You are to know me. What does that mean? That means to behold, to watch, to understand, to listen carefully. You're to know who I am. The responsibility is laid on you. If you don't know who I am, that is your responsibility. Saints, I am studying you. I watch every one of you. I'm watching over your souls. But you have a responsibility given in the Bible, and it says you must know those who rule over you. Not the other way around. Well, he doesn't know me. No, you're to know the leadership. You're to actually understand them and perceive them. Notice here it says, to know them. To know them who labor among you. So those who rule over you, they labor among you. They work. It is a life's work. It is a day and night task. Saints, I can't tell you when my days are off. I don't know when my times, I can't count the days in the past year that I can say that day's off and that day's off and that day's off. I don't even think about it. When I go to bed at night, I don't switch off from church at 5 in the evening. I can tell you I wake up at 2 in the morning thinking about this church, thinking about every issue. I am never free of it. It is a labor, it is a work. So notice those who are over you in the Lord, they labor amongst you and you're to know them or understand them. But there's another statement there. It says, and they admonish you. That means to put in mind, to caution you, to gently reprove you, to rebuke you when you're not in line with the word of God. Do you know one of my primary tasks isn't to hold your hand? You hear me? Isn't to visit you? Isn't to find out what's going on about you. One of my primary tasks One of the essential tasks is that I am to warn you about your spiritual condition. I am to actually bring the word of God to you and say, brother, sister, this is not right. That is an absolute primer. You never hear it in the church. And I can assure you, people who come in that door and say, I don't like this, and I think this, and I think that, they never stop to think that they are commanded.
Yes.
Certain things towards a leader. I'm talking about authority and submission in the church.
Yeah.
There are some with authority. Most are submitted. Or I really should say we're all submitted. Because I can assure you, I am the most submitted person in this church. I don't know anybody in this church more submitted than I am. I am submitted to every one of you. I'm submitted to Jesus Christ. I am submitted to the authority of God's word. That's why for 3.5 years I've said, even the sinners, you can come and challenge me. You can come and talk to me. Not talk to 10 others. You can talk to me. You can raise any issue. You can bring any question. And I'll show you in the Word of God. What I'm telling you here tonight is in the Word of God. Notice in 1 Thessalonians 5:13 something else. Notice this. And to esteem them very highly in love. For their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Amen. This is not the sort of scripture that most Christians learn.
Yeah.
Most of them don't have it written on a bit of paper stuck on their fridge. Esteem them very highly in love for their labor's sake. You don't get people quoting this into being. They quote the blessings into being, or they have a positive confession. I'm going to speak out the blessings of God, or I'm going to visualize God's blessing for me. That's a load of trash.
That's right.
It's not in the Bible. Visualization comes from the occultic world. It's not in the Bible. You don't visualize things into being. That's a very dangerous thing. I'm telling you, you're to obey God, not tell Him what you want.
Yeah.
In any realm of life, you're walking on thin ice when you begin to tell God, I want this, this is what I'm visualizing, I'm going to speak it into being. You're dealing with the God of your own imagination, not the God of the Bible. But it says, these who rule in the church, esteem them highly. That means to consider them. Do you know what that actually means? To give them a place of leadership. You esteem them. You think of them. You actually make a decision. You see, saints, never once in my marriage, I've been married 11 years, never once did I ever go to Canada and say, you need to submit.
Yeah.
Never once in my entire marriage. Of course I teach it. Of course we read it in the Bible. I don't go around to people saying, you ought to submit. And you know what's so sad is the Bible teaches it so clearly. Very few are willing to submit. They expect the preacher to submit to them.
Yeah.
That's what they actually do.
Yeah.
How far have we gone? What does the Bible say? Esteem them very highly in love. Not very lowly. Not as a worm. Not as a piece of muck.
Yes.
But you esteem them or consider them highly. Why? Because of their work. And it says, and be at peace among yourselves. Now notice here in verse 7 it says, remember them. Exercise your memory. Think about them. Think about what they've taught you. Think about how they've lived. Think about how they've ministered in the midst. Those who rule in the church, you are to exercise your mind. You're to use intelligence. And I want to assure you, very few use intelligence in this area. When it comes to an attitude to a leader, understanding authority and submission, very few use this thing that's on top of their body. Very few do. They're moved by emotions.
Yeah.
They're moved by feelings. They're moved by thoughts. They're moved by circumstance. The Bible says you're to use your intelligence. You're to use your brain. You're to think about it. We as Christians don't switch our brain down. That's a very dangerous thing. You will be manipulated by the devil and false prophets. If you switch your brain off and say, I'll open myself to a spirit, that's dangerous. Since that's why I stir your mind up to say, you can have intelligent conversation with me.
That's right.
You know, some people, they just shut down.
Yeah.
They think I'm a brain reader. They expect me to prophetically know everything that goes on inside them. The Bible says you are to communicate with those who preach the word of God. Can I say that again? You are to communicate with those who preach the word of God. It's not my job to say, what did you think of the message? You are commanded to come to me and to talk about the word of God. I'm commanded to be here to preach the word of God. I labor in the word of God. I pray over the word of God. I pour out my heart. You are commanded to think about it and understand it. Notice it says, remember them who rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Notice it's an audible thing. That's why you remember them. They are speaking the word of God. Not stories.
Right.
Not dreams. Not prophecies.
Amen.
Not impressions. Not fables. Not Jewish histories. The word of God. Notice that that's the mark of a real leader, a real preacher. They minister the word of God. Isn't that what elders are meant to do? 21 qualifications in their life. But there is one that says apt to teach. Every leader, elder, ruler in the church is to have the ability to teach the word of God. Paul writing again in Titus 1:19. To those who are leaders, he says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Who are gainsayers? Troublemakers. People who criticize. People who come into the church with opinions. Now, a true elder with sound doctrine has to be able to exhort them. In other words, brother, stop it.
Yes.
And to convince them, that means to convict them, to show them where they're wrong. If you can't show someone where they're heretically wrong or wrong in their life by the Bible, you're not ready for leadership.
Right.
If you don't know enough about the Bible to say this is right and this is wrong and I can give you 10 reasons, you're not ready for ministry.
Yes.
You see, one of the reasons God raises up leaders is to stop the mouths of those who cause problems. Listen what he says in Titus 1 verse 10. For there are many unruly. Many. 2,000 years ago in the early churches, there are many unruly. What does that mean? They don't walk by rule. Do you know there's many in Limerick tonight? We have met many who are unruly. What does it mean? They don't walk with the straight ruler. Do you know what the ruler is? Their own mind, their own thoughts, their own feelings. I assure you, this is the only ruler to walk by is the word of God. So 2,000 years ago, he says we need to raise up leaders who can deal with those who cause problems. Because there's many unruly. Many who walk without any rule. I'm led of the Spirit. Oh, I'm following God. I'm praying. Why do you disobey the word of God then?
Amen. Yes.
Many vain talkers and deceivers.
Yes.
Especially they of the circumcision. Notice, whose mouths must be stopped. Do you realize the job of an elder is to stop the mouth of those who cause problems in the church? Do you know I've got authority to do that from God? Is those who are speaking rubbish, those who are speaking lies, those who are speaking heresy, those who are speaking rubbish, those who are speaking thoughts of their imagination, I am to stop their mouths.
Yes.
Don't touch them physically. But I'm given a responsibility. So that means that an elder has to be a man of the word of God. That's why it says study to show yourself approved. A man who can rightly divide the word of truth. Not everyone can do that. You can be the loveliest Christian on the face of the earth. You can love Jesus Christ more than me. But I can assure you, it doesn't mean that you understand the word of God. To be a leader, you need to study the word of God daily. I haven't stopped growing. I feel like I'm just beginning. I'm a little boy who's only beginning and studying the Bible. I have given more than 25 years just to study the Word of God. I mean incessantly study it. It used to be I worked a 9-to-5 job all through my 20s. 9-to-5 job. I worked. I wasn't paid a penny for it. Not a penny. But I worked a 9-to-5 job. When I finished, I had my tea. 6 o'clock, what am I doing? Bible study. Through until about 12. I like to go walking at 12 at night round the dark park when no one else is there. And I'm there praying. Then I'm up for the prayer meeting at 5:30 or 6 in the morning. I'm telling you what I've done through my 20s. Why does God have me in this pulpit? Why does God send me places to preach and teach? You see, if you neglect the word of God, if you say, oh, well, God will give it me in a dream, you are not fit for the ministry.
Yes.
It is a job. It is a lifetime preparation. Since we need to be very aware, remember those who've spoken unto you the word of God. Remember them. Stir up your mind.
Yes.
Think of the price. Since that's why I've given myself to this, that you can be edified and fed as the sheep of God. I want to feed you. I want to encourage you. I want to warn you. I want to direct you. I want to strengthen you in all that you do. It says, remember them whose faith follow. Oh, we don't follow men. You ever heard that in the church? Any has ever heard that? We don't follow. I follow God. I follow Jesus. Do you know that's utterly unbiblical? Utterly, it sounds very spiritual. I can give you 10, 20 verses that contradict that statement. And yet many people say, oh, I don't follow a man. Or we've had someone come and say, now don't you be following Keith. Well, don't have him wrong. Listen to what the Bible actually says. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ.
Yeah.
If you think I'm following Christ, then follow me.
Yeah.
The Bible actually says elders, leaders are put in the church as examples to follow. They are to embody. That's why there's 22 qualifications. That's why I'm giving myself to the Word of God. That's why I want to rise early and seek the Lord in prayer. That's why I want to read the Word of God and pray over it and find the mind of God. Every day, if I can help it, every week of my life. It's not a duty. It's not a job. This is my Christian walk. I love Jesus Christ. Now notice in 1 Peter 5:2, it says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Some leaders don't take the oversight. They just let things go at will. Well, we'll just let the wind blow and just let the Lord move. No, if you're a leader, you've got to take the oversight. You've got to stand up and carry responsibility. Not by constraint, not being forced to take that leadership position, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre or money, but of a ready mind. Neither is being, listen this closely, this is instruction to elders, our church leaders. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Notice two things are contrasted. Don't be a lord over the church, but be an ensample or an example. Two things are contrasted here. You see, what is a lord? That means I take the position of Jesus Christ. The word lord means to control, to force you to be subject, to bring you under my power. Now, what is he writing here? Church leaders are not to be lords. They are not to force people into submission. Remember, they're not behind forcing people in a direction. They walk in front. Do you realize in 3.5 years in this church, we have never, and this will shock you, okay, some of yous, we have never in 3.5 years put anybody out of this church officially. Never. Not in 3.5 years, unless you can correct me at the end. We have not officially, do you know what's happened? As soon as someone is walking disorderly, they choose to leave. They make a decision, and not all that have left, it's been because of disorderliness. But most of those who have left, as soon as they walk differently from the Word of God, they make a decision. It makes my job an awful lot easier, and our job. But we've never once asked someone, leave this church. In fact, let me correct that. There is two people because of something very serious. There are sinners on heroin. And that's the only incident in 3.5 years. because it got to a serious point, but it had to get to a very serious point. Saints, I'm saying we're not to be lords, but in samples. A leader is to be filled with the Word of God. I am actually to be filled with the Word of God. I am to endeavor to live like Jesus. I am pursuing after Him. I'm trying to live for Him. And in doing that, I would invite you to follow me. Saints, I would ask you, follow me even as I follow Christ. I want Jesus. I want to be changed to become like Him. But saints, let me move you to verse 17. I believe one of the most important verses in the New Testament. I believe in this issue of authority and submission in the church. If you understand this one verse, you'll never have another problem the rest of your Christian life. It is the most dynamic verse. Listen to me carefully. If ever you listen to me in this verse. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you. Obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Now notice here it says, those who rule over you, you're to obey them. The Bible nowhere talks about people dropping in and out of churches. Well, I come when I feel like it. Well, I move around all of the churches. You know, those people never consider anyone else rules over them.
Right.
We met them to say, I go where the Spirit leads me. Yeah, I know. I know. If it was the real Holy Spirit, He'd say, stay where you are. Be faithful. Be committed. But these guys, they move around being led by their own thoughts and nobody rules over them. They feed themselves, they direct themselves, they're not accountable to anyone. I can assure you I'm very accountable. Every time I stand here and preach, I'm accountable. When I've been very sick, I've stood here and preached, I'm accountable to you. I feel indebted to you to give you the Word of God. But notice here it says, obey them who have the rule over you and submit yourselves. It's a choice, saints.
Right.
It is an absolute choice. You don't have to do it. I am not going to beg you to do that. It is a choice that you alone make as a sheep before God. In the light of God's Word, you make a decision. But you can't function in a church if you don't actually do this. Now what does the word obey? Now notice this carefully, because I don't know many leaders that will tell you this. And it'll change your whole way of thinking about it. What does the word obey mean? You may think that's very simple. It's not. Listen, the word obey is also used in Hebrews 6 verse 9. And this is what it says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. It's used in the next verse, not verse 17, but verse 18. And it's the word trust. Do you know what this word obey means? It means to have confidence. To be persuaded, to be won over. So notice, when it says obey them who rule over you, it's not blind obedience. It's not that you just obey them without thought or question. You've just got to sit there and do what you're told. It doesn't say that.
Right.
The word obey actually means be won over. Be persuaded by them. How do you think a preacher persuades you? It's by the Word of God. So in other words, you, if this is going to work properly, you're to obey. You're to be willing to be persuaded. But since my side of this is I am to persuade you, I can never say just do it.
Right.
I can never say just trust me. I've never said that. I can't say, well, just accept it. Do you know what I've always done is, but the Bible says, but the Word of God says, that's why a leader is to study the Word of God. That's why he's to be filled with the Word of God. I am persuading you. And what's so sad is after a period of a year, we hit the trials and we find out who actually heard any of the teaching. Do you realize the past 7 months have proved if you've heard the Word of God or not? Your actions, your reactions, your words, your decisions. All of that was revealed the past 7 months. And actually revealed your attitude towards the Word of God. Yeah. There's basic things in here, and yet mature Christians don't even obey it. That shows me they don't know the Word of God, or they're rebels against the Word of God. And if they don't know it, they ought to know it. If you're 2 years a Christian, you ought to know this Word.
Yeah.
Saints, I'm telling you the Bible. Men save 2 years become elders of churches.
Yeah.
They wrote the letters of these letters in the Bible to churches only 2 years old in the Lord, and they're sending the meat and authority and power in the Word of God. And it says, be persuaded. Remember in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. And it actually says there, Paul actually arrives in Berea, a small town called Berea. He's just come from Thessalonica. Listen to what he says. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. You see, a heart willing to be persuaded. You know, I've had to deal with people. They don't want persuaded. They don't want to hear the word of God. There's no openness in their heart. They make decisions. They don't want to hear from anybody. And you know what? That's a very dangerous place. Saints, I've always made myself submitted. I studied out. I want to find the mind of God. If you don't have someone to care for your soul, that's a very dangerous place indeed. Someone who can say, but what about this scripture? And what about this? And what about this in your life? And doesn't the Lord say this? You say, I persuade you. You don't need to believe anything I say if I don't persuade you from the Bible. I can't persuade you by arguments or impressions or visions. You must be persuaded by the Word of God. You know why? If you become persuaded by the Word of God, nothing will move you.
That's right.
If I persuade you, and you go, praise God, brother.
Yeah.
And in 2 months you don't believe anything.
Yeah.
All you were persuaded by Keith for 2 months.
Yes.
And then you go following some other, I'm following some cloud or feather.
Yeah.
A lot of people in the church are doing that. Well, I believe God's doing this, but why does it contradict the Bible?
Yeah.
Do you know I'm here, placed of God, to deal with those things? That is basic, elementary. And it says, submit yourself, yield. This is what you're to do towards the leader. He's persuading you with the word of God. He's to rule over you. We're talking about authority and submission, government in the church. I'm not a lord, I'm an example.
Right.
I am endeavouring to fulfil 22 qualifications. That's a very weighty task.
Yeah.
It's easier to sit in a church pew and to listen to the word of God and just be a member and be in the prayer meeting. But to give yourself over to lead the church of God, that's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
That can put a man in the grave early, you know.
Yeah.
Lots of men have worn themselves out in the ministry, and they ought to have. And it's a good thing commended of God. They labour to the point of exhaustion.
Yeah.
You know, in the charismatic movement say, if you get tired, the Holy Spirit isn't in it. That's not true. That's not in the Word of God. The Bible often, and Jesus commends the churches. He said, you have labored to the point of physical exhaustion, and I commend you for it. I encourage you for it. Why would you do this? Why do you submit? What does it mean to submit to a church leader? To yield yourself, to be weak. Take the lower place. This is what the word means. To surrender. Don't resist. Yield to authority. Give way. Give place. Allow him space. Why would you do that? For they watch for your souls as they that must give account. Do you realize one day I'll give an account for your soul? I don't care if you fail all your school exams. I don't care if you struggle to put bread on the table, and you know I do. But as long as you've got clothes in your body tonight, as long as you've eaten a meal today, as long as you've got somewhere to sleep tonight, you're doing very well. You're doing better than an awful lot of people in this world.
Right.
Do you know most of the body of Christ doesn't have running water? Most of the real, genuine church of Jesus Christ. But I'm here to watch for your soul. I'm here to watch for your spiritual condition. Not that you're comfortable. Not that you feel okay. I am here to look after your soul, not your body. Not your physical condition. I am here to go, is your relationship with God fine? Now, why are you to be persuaded? Why are you to submit to a church leader? Why are you to allow yourself to be persuaded? Because I am doing the hardest job on the face of this city and this planet is to look after your spiritual condition. I want to see you in heaven. I want to see you come through the trials and the troubles and the storms and the onslaughts of hell. I want to pray for you. I want to preach to you. Do you know many sermons you're encouraged through you don't even remember here tonight? Because it goes, you forget those times. You forget the trials. You forget the troubles. But the house of God is to be a place where the word of God encourages. We're looking for your soul. And notice here, notice this verse 17. It says that they may do it with joy. Do you know your task in this church is that I do my job with joy? You know, one of the things I appreciate about Paul and Soph and many of you is that you allow me to do it with joy. I've said to Paul and Soph before, thank you for making my job easy. I love just living with people, not fighting, not bickering, not arguing, not quizzing, not. I love it. I absolutely love it. I highly regard it. But you know what? Guys, it's basic. It's elementary. You're meant to actually make my job easier. It's a command of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit has put it here. You know, people in the church are looking for a dream. Lord, give me a dream. Lord, give me a prophecy. Lord, send someone to direct me. And this book is filled with commandments. Make my job joyous. It's the Holy Spirit speaking. And you like this next comment. Underline this verse. Put it in your fridge when you go home. Notice what it says. That they may do it with joy and not with grief. You know what the word grief means? It means to narrow in tightly, to sigh, to murmur, to groan. Do you realize the past 7 months I've groaned?
Yeah.
Oh Lord.
Yeah.
Saints, I'm not playing games with your souls, not one of us. I care about you, I die for you, I'm a shepherd. I'll go looking for you. But I'm dealing with sheep, not with goats,
yes.
Not with pigs, not with dogs,
right.
Not with wolves. I tell you, I'm not going to mess with any wolf. I'm either going to kill it spiritually, or I'm going to stay away or lock the door. But I don't play games with wolves or any man. But if I know you're a sheep and you want to follow, and you've made me know that you want to follow, I'm going to look out for your soul.
That's right.
If you don't communicate that, I'm not playing games with you.
That's right.
It says that bring joy. Don't let me be grieved, groaning. Oh no, here they come. Here we go again. They've never asked, they've never done things biblically, but they're throwing stones at the shepherd. They haven't even tried to obey the word of God. I get tired of that.
Yes.
Hey, I'm flesh and blood. I can groan. The Bible actually says that I can groan.
Yeah.
It depends on those I'm dealing with. It ought to be joyous, but I can groan. Go, oh, no. Saints, I am giving you the basic word of God. You see, those who rule, they do it by persuasion. I'm persuading you. I never command you. I never tell you, just trust me. I want to show you the word of God. They rule by persuasion, rule by example. In Romans 12, they rule with diligence. In 1 Timothy 5:17, they rule well. Do you know what you have to do? You have to submit, you have to obey, you have to trust, you have to communicate, you have to remember, you have to know them, you have to esteem them, you have to pray for them, you have to honor them. When you're sick, you call them. Can I say that again? What does the Bible say? When you're sick, you call. Don't say, I call you. You call them. This is all in the Bible.
Yes,
it's elementary, it's basic, it's all there. Because you know what? You call me, I'll be there at your door.
Amen.
And you call me, I'll do anything I can for you. And you'll be prayed in a prayer meeting, or we'll have you at the front laying hands on you. You see, there is a biblical order. You know how, need to know how to work with me, and I need to know how to work with you. And since I don't know everything, but I do endeavor, I want to walk in the light of Scripture. I might miss something. I may not shake your hand. I may not remember something you've said. But saints, there's a lot of safeguards put here, because the job of leadership or shepherding or looking after souls is one of the most serious jobs on the face of the earth. And that's why it actually says in 1 Timothy 5:19, against an elder receive not an accusation. Those who rule, those who are in government, those who have authority, do not receive an accusation. Full stop. No, full stop.
Amen, yeah.
Do you know what? It's conditional.
Right.
Can you make an accusation against an elder? Yes. But there's a certain way to do it. If you don't do it the biblical way, you're sinning.
Yes.
But if anyone in a church says you can't make any accusation against an elder, touch not God's anointed. You can never see what's wrong. Or if an elder's doing something wrong, you can't do anything. Tough. Rubbish.
Right.
Listen to it carefully. Against an elder, receive not an accusation. Is it always wrong to make an accusation? No, not if it's true.
Right.
Do you know if the accusation's true about me? Make it. Just make sure you've spoken to me first before you speak to anyone. Because if you haven't, you're sinning. But notice the qualification. It says, but, can I say that again?
Yeah.
But, what does but mean? There's a condition. Hold on now.
Yeah.
Before two or three witnesses. If you don't have two or three eyewitnesses, you can't even make an accusation against me.
Amen.
Do you realize an elder, a leader's got more protection than you do? Do you know why? Because his job is harder. He's preaching. I'm dealing with everything in you. I am standing on your little pinky toe, on your right foot and your left foot. I am bringing the word of God that convicts you. I am wielding a sword that divides between soul and spirit. So there's got to be a protection, because I can tell you, if the Holy Spirit's really working in this church, you're going to be dealt with by this pulpit.
Right.
The Holy Spirit's going to deal with you. And that's why I have more of a protection, because what I'm dealing with, if anyone walks in that door and they're wrong in their character or in their actions or in their words, they are going to react against me, I can assure you. Accusations are going to be made, but you better make sure that there's two or three eyewitnesses.
Yes.
This is what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
It says you can make an accusation, you can receive an accusation, if it is in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Eyewitnesses. Notice the next verse. Them that sin. Talking about elders, leaders. Do you realize an elder can sin in a way that doesn't disqualify him from ministry? He could sin in a way. Notice what it says. Sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. There's a way in which a leader could sin. How do we handle it? What if accusations are brought and they're true? What if an accusation was brought against me? It's not moral sin, it's not doctrinal sin, it's not financial sin, but it's something that's wrong. What's to happen? It's to be dealt with publicly. If there's witnesses, if it's clear, let's deal with it publicly. Hey, rebuke me. Publicly, let's do it publicly,
yeah,
in a God-honoring way.
Amen.
And then put it behind and move on.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, nowhere in government, in the church, there's no authority that is unquestioned or above question or beyond being challenged. You can challenge authority, but you better be sure that you're right. Because if you get on the wrong side of this, the devil's going to be messing with your home, with your brain, with your life, with your future. You can't go against this. You can't sit there and go, well, persuade me if you can. That's a rotten, hard attitude.
Yeah, amen.
Go sitting in a church saying, I'm not going to submit, or I don't have to submit. You're in dangerous ground. Just like I would be if I abuse you.
Yeah.
Or if I hurt you. Or if I take you around the corner and beat you up. I'm on very serious ground. But if you don't do what God tells you, you're on serious ground. And I can tell you, saints, I've given my whole life to this. I want to be right with God. I want to be right with the Word of God. I want to submit myself. Let me finish with this one thought from 3 John 1 verse 9. And it actually talks about John the Elder. He's a man in his 90s writing to a church. We don't know where it is. And he wrote unto the church, listen to verse 9. He says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. This was a church where Diotrephes, he rose up amongst the leadership and he loved to have the first place. He loved position. He was filled with pride and ambition. He says, I want to have authority. I want to be able to tell people what to do. And John, he's the last of the 12 apostles. He is an old man. All the rest have been martyred. He's the only one left alive. And he's writing to Gaius, who's in that church. And he's saying, brother, everybody speaks well about you. You're a man of God. I know you've got a good testimony. But in that church that you are, he says, Diotrephes loves to exalt himself, loves to gain position. And you know what? He doesn't receive us. Me, an apostle, who walk with Jesus and appointed with Jesus. Here's this church leader, raised himself up. And you know what he says? John isn't getting in this pulpit. What a serious thing. He goes further. Wherefore, if I come unto you, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us. That means babbling. Or talking utter nonsense. Look at this man. He's exalted himself in the church with a position. And he's a preacher and he's a leader. And here he is. He says, I will not let John the apostle in the church. I don't think anything of him. And you know what? He was babbling away. He was speaking a load of nonsense about John. He was making false accusations about John. And he was using malicious words or diseased words or evil words. Here he is, exalting himself and speaking against a godly leader who walked with Jesus Christ. And he said, not only does he forbid us, but if anyone will not separate himself from us, or if anyone will receive brothers who come from me, he actually casts them out. This happened 2,000 years ago in the church. Don't tell me these problems are new. They're not new.
That's right.
Don't stand and wonder, go, why is there so many things happening in this church? Do you know why? Because the Holy Ghost is here and the Word of God is here.
Amen.
That's why it happens. Because it happened 2,000 years ago in all of the churches.
That's right.
It's not something strange. You show me a church where there's no ruffling, there's no problems, I'll tell you, there's something wrong with that church.
Right.
It's not a real church. I'm telling you, every New Testament church had problems.
That's right.
Every single one of them. They all had issues arise. And here's John saying, Diotrephes, you know, someone in that church still fellowships with us. They get thrown out of the church. Notice this word here. It says, he casteth them out of the church. He casteth them. Do you know what that word means? It means a quick action. With violence or physical force, he drives them out. There's no talk, there's no time, there's no discussion, there's no watching the scriptures. And can I tell you, if anyone puts someone out of a church quickly, without any biblical comment or without having it open, there's something wrong. A church leader should never be doing that. They don't have the authority to do that. It's got to be according to scripture. Go to your brother. If he doesn't hear you, take two others with you. If he doesn't hear you, bring it before the church. If he doesn't hear the church, put him out and treat him like a heathen. If he doesn't listen to that church, I'm telling you how it operates in the Bible. And here's John saying he casteth men out of that church. Saints, it's all here in the Bible. And let me finish with verse 24 in Hebrews 13. One beautiful scripture as we close. Salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. What was saluting? It was a warm welcome. Salute those who rule over you. Huh. Preacher didn't shake my hand. Preacher didn't smile at me. This is one of the commands to you. You are to salute those who rule over you. You're actually to be warm. You're to be encouraging. You're to be endearing. Saints, I hate saying these things. It's bad when you're up here. You hate preaching these things. But I've always believed these things. Always. From when I first read the Bible, when that's what we do. That's how we operate. If you lose your warmth towards me, you are disobeying the word of God. If there's a problem, come speak to me. And I'll speak to you. But saints, you are to salute me. Handshake. A warm embrace. Don't all come and hug me and kiss me at the end of the meeting. But I'm talking about the government of God. Saints, let's do this with joy. Let's enjoy the blessing of God. I love it when we dwell together like this with the blessing of God. I want to walk with Jesus Christ. You want to walk with Jesus Christ. Let's do it with joy. I'm not going to fight with you. You're not going to fight with me. Someone quite recently, a couple of months ago, they said, well, I'm leaving because there's problems. They said, everyone who said, all the bickering, fighting. I said, all them are outside that door. All of them.
Yeah.
I said, can you point to two people in this door at this moment who are fighting? I says, no, you cannot.
Yeah.
I said, you know why? Because all the ones who are bickering and fighting and what you're saying, they're all out there. They've all left.
That's right.
They've all gone. They're bickering. They're fighting. They're squabbling over stupid things.
Yeah.
I'm not with my brothers here.
That's
I'm not fighting with my wife. I'm not fighting with Dio.
That's right.
This is what we want, saints of God, and we can have the blessing of God, and it's for your benefit and your profit. If you make my job easy, it's to your blessing and your benefit and the benefit of your family and the benefit of this city. And if we can dwell together in unity, God.